Reading from the Sri Bhakti Sandarbha Anuchet 255. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya. Saksuran Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Agadanaschanam Dante Idam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhoja Tulisham Janma Janmani Vairagya Bhakti Risham Payatnai Apayamam Anabipsamandam Kripam Buriya Paraduko Duki Sanatanastam Prabhumasriyami Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Shindhu Vaibhaja Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo Rama Rama Hare Hare Anuchet 255 Praise of the Lord's Pastimes. Praise of the Lord's pastimes can also be found in the prayers of the personified Vedas, as in this statement, O Lord, you manifest various forms in order to reveal the truth of yourself, which is very difficult to fathom. Your stories are a great ocean of nectar, and those who dive into the ocean are relieved of all fatigue. Having abandoned their homes due to association with the swan-like devotees who relish your lotus feet, they do not yearn even for salvation. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.87.21. Greetings from Nissan Falls. It's very nice. I always like to be in my country kutir with my library and peaceful atmosphere. I think I'm losing my voice. I hope I can make it through here. We're studying Bhakti Sandarbha, Srila Jiva Goswami's definitive exposition on Abhideya Tattva, the means of realizing the absolute truth. The means of fully realizing the absolute truth is bhakti, because our ignorance or blindness to the absolute truth is due to our aversion towards it. So in this part of the Bhakti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami is explaining the different practices of regulated devotional service in a particular order, beginning with Sharanagati, taking shelter, which is the gateway to bhakti, that faith in our relationship with Krishna as the shelter and fulfillment of all our needs and desires, the full shelter and protection from all inebrieties and problems. That's Sharanagati, taking shelter means what? Faith that there's shelter. We have faith that the shelter, that our protection, our maintenance, that is our relationship with Krishna. And that Sharanagata, that commitment and surrender to that relationship is our entrance into bhakti. And then he explained satsanga, the potency, the taking association of the devotees, serving them and hearing from them. So to develop our eternal relationship with Krishna. And now we're discussing the item of hearing. Contacting with the ear, the name, the form, the qualities, and the pastimes of Krishna. Because the sense which most absorbs the consciousness is hearing. And when we hear about Krishna, we hear about the Supreme Lord, our consciousness becomes absorbed in the Supreme Lord, which purifies the consciousness by attaching ourselves to the Supreme Lord and invoking the desire in us to serve the Supreme Lord. So this hearing can be done. We can hear about the name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yasomati Nandana Brajabara Nagara Gokula Ranjana Kana. We can hear about the name. We can hear about the form of Krishna. Bharpida Biramam Nigamata Tilakam Kundala Granta Gandam Kanjaksham Kambukatam Smitisubhagamukam Swadare Nyaste. He's playing the flute, his lotus eyes. We can hear about the form of Krishna. We can hear about the qualities of Krishna. Aho bhakiyam kulakutasthanam. Oh, how merciful Krishna is. Even though Putana came to kill him with poison on her breast, because she came as a nurse, he accepted her as his mother, and she got the same destination as Mother Yasoda. How can Pat? We can hear about that. Or we can hear about the pastimes of Krishna. And of course, we can also hear about Krishna's devotees. So we were reading how powerful that process is to purify the heart and bring Krishna's lotus feet firmly into that heart. And as I mentioned many times, this is the process which we're engaging in now. We hear about Krishna, we hear about the philosophy of Krishna, we develop faith in Krishna, we become absorbed in Krishna, and we advance the devotion in the heart, develops. And in fact, the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is based on this fact. What is the duty of a man who's about to die, and what should he not do? And of course, we're all about to die. We don't know. It's very short, our life. If we have a proper perspective, we are dying people. What should he do? He should chant, hear, worship, and remember Krishna. So this process of hearing. And then, because Jiva Goswami wants to convince us of the importance of this process. He wants to give us faith in this process. And faith means Shastriya Shraddha. How do we have faith in something? Why do we have faith in something? We have faith in something because it comes from the Shastra. We have faith in Guru because he represents the Shastra. We have faith in Sadhu because he represents the Shastra. Our faith is based that it's true. And how do we know it's true? It's Shabda Brahman. It's reality manifest in sound, which is the highest pramana or means of knowing. So, he presents the glories of hearing about Krishna, and he also then presents the deficiency in not doing that activity. In other words, he wants to promote faith in hearing. Well, this is what happens when you don't do it. One who doesn't hear, and he references from the Bhagavatam, the only person who doesn't hear is who? And if one doesn't hear, what does it mean? It means he's pashugya. He's a killer of the soul, which means either he's directly a killer of the animal, or he's a killer of the soul, which means he's critical and envious of the devotees, which hurts the soul of those who you criticize. But even more seriously, it hurts your own soul because it destroys your attraction for Krishna. I tell that story in Kartik. I perform a Namvrata every year. And the last 5 days of Kartik is called Bhishma Panchaka, because Bhishma is what? He's Vrakodara. He's the ferocious eater and the performer of Herculean tasks. So it's very hard for someone who is a ferocious eater to perform Kartik and take vows of restricting the diet. So somehow in the story, Bhishma got the benediction that if he would just follow the last 5 days, he would get the benefit of the whole month. So in Kartik, people, they perform the Kartik Vrata. They take some vows. They reduce their eating. They increase their chanting. But the last 5 days, they do something special to get that special benediction. I lost my train of thought. I remember, thank you. So I once met Bhurijan Prabhu, and I asked him, you know, it's the last 5 days of Kartik. I said, what is your Kartik Vrata? And he said, my Kartik Vrata is that I should not criticize a devotee. I said, okay, that's very nice. Because if we can just avoid that, we can just be vigilant about that. Simply vigilant about not criticizing a devotee born of envy, born of hate, born of ill will. If we can do that alone, we'll be such a bhakti will absorb immediately. If we can just do that alone, then what little chanting we do will have an effect. What little hearing we do will have an effect. Just that alone. So I thought, let me do that. And by trying to do that, I realized how much that is my tendency. That's why it's called the age, Kali Yuga, the age of quarrel and confusion, the age of quarrel. It's so much of a tendency to criticize. And that's the person who doesn't hear about Krishna. That's the person who doesn't chant about Krishna. Anyway, so one who doesn't hear about Krishna, he's Pashugya. And now he's going to finish up at least this part, because he's discussed the name, the form, the qualities. And he begins to discuss Lila Katha. We actually discuss Krishna's pastimes. It is like Prabhupada gave his Krishna book. Prabhupada said, if we always read Krishna book, we'll be happy. So nice just to read Krishna book. We'll be happy. So Prabhupada gave us Krishna book. So he begins to describe Lila Katha. I'm just going to a little bit review quickly in 253. And he describes from the second canto a verse about the power of this hearing, the pastimes of the Lord. It's actually one of my favorite activities. If right now I'm here in New York, but if I'm in the stream of my consciousness, if I can go back to Vrindavan, especially at Giriraj Swami's house by his mercy, and that porch where I give class, and it looks, it's just so beautiful. It looks out, and there's so many birds. And I remember I would like to speak on the 10th canto and hearing the pastimes, hearing about love. Because what is the pastimes of Krishna? It's rasa. It's the exchange of Krishna and his devotees. So it's the manifestation of love in the most pure form. And by hearing about that in the proper way, and if it's hopefully by God's grace, Krishna's grace, I can present it in an appropriate way, as Prabhupada did in the right context and frame of reference for the audience, it's so pleasing and so absorbing to hear about pure love manifest in the spiritual world, which is Krishna and his devotees and their exchange of pure love. That was what Vyasadeva saw. He didn't sufficiently describe Krishna, and he went into meditation. And in that meditation, what did he see? Mayachitara pasayam. He saw Krishna and the energies of Krishna under his control. Now, he understood that that maya, the energy of Krishna, it also indicates the yoga maya. So he saw, that's what he saw Vrindavan. And what is Vrindavan? It's Krishna exchanging with his energies. And that's an exchange of love, because the energies of Krishna are for his pleasure. And they're intended to please him. And therefore, Srimati Radharani, who is the Ladini Shakti embodied, or is the Purna Shakti, is the complete Shakti. Because Shakti is meant for pleasure, and pleasure is love. So the energies of Krishna move with the intention of pleasing him. And they please him. They please his senses. But they please his senses by invoking in his senses the sense of love from his devotees. So hearing the Lord's pastimes is such a wonderful activity, and we should do it. If Gaur Lila is more accessible, we should listen to Gaur Lila. But Sukadeva Goswami wants to explain the potency of it, so he explains this wonderful verse. You hear the Lord's pastime, and this wonderful progression develops. You develop knowledge because you're hearing reality. So you're experiencing reality. So you get knowledge and understanding of reality. And then automatically the waves of the material qualities, they quell. And then the mind, Atma Prasad and Hum, the mind becomes pleased. And then naturally when that pleasure is there, then the senses become detached from things which are pale in comparison. And then one attains Kaivalya, the approved path. And what does Kaivalya mean? Kaivalya means two things. One, Kaivalya means Krishna. Jiva Goswami quotes, Eko Narayano Deva Parama Asti Kaivalya Samgyatam. The Supreme Lord is known as Kaivalya, and therefore the means to approach Krishna is Kaivalya Panta, the only means of attaining Godhead. So Kaivalya means bhakti. And Kaivalya also means liberation. You practice the path of devotion, you become liberated. And then become detached and then attain supreme devotion to me. That's that verse in Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Pasinatma, Nasochati Nakanchati, Samasaveshu Bhuteshu, Mad Bhakti Labhati Param. Brahma Bhuta Pasinatma, become completely satisfied. Nasochati Nakanchati. No hankering, no lamenting. Is anyone out there lamenting? Is anybody out there hankering? That means we're not satisfied. And having that, then one attains devotion, which is also an interesting point because it means that liberation is not the highest, that it actually leads to bhakti. So this is a Lila Katha, completely purifies the heart. Then Anuchet 254, it describes that this Lila Katha, these pastimes of Krishna, it's so great that the topmost scripture, the essence of the whole Vedas, the Mahapramana, was manifested solely for this purpose. Vedaisya sarveham eva vedyo, vedantavid, vedavid, evacham. Of all the Vedas, I am to be known. The Vedas are manifest for that purpose, to help us understand Krishna, to help us become attracted to Krishna, because by becoming attracted to Krishna, we are becoming attracted to our eternal, we're becoming attracted to who we are, to self-realization. You become attracted to Krishna, you're becoming attracted to who we are, which is devotees of Krishna. And it's only that desire not to be a devotee that puts us in the illusion of this material world. The illusion of this material world is that there's no God, but I am God. So the desire not to be a devotee is what puts us in the illusion of this world. So this hearing of Krishna's pastimes and becoming attracted to Krishna is the panacea, the cure-all, the remedy for the material world. So therefore, the Vedas, which is meant to give liberation, ultimately is meant to give Krishna. And the essence of the Vedas is the Bhagavatam. It's to give these pastimes of Krishna. And therefore, we should take a veil of these pastimes. O Vyas, for the most part, you have not described the pure fame of the Lord. I consider that knowledge to be incomplete, which does not satisfy the Lord. So if Krishna is not known, if Krishna is not glorified, then the Vedas and the scriptures are incomplete. If the Vedas are meant to give liberation, and what is liberation? Muktir hitva yata rupam sarupena vivastita. Muktir hitva yata rupam. It's to give up the false identity as the enjoyer and controller and adopt the identity as Krishna's servant. And what's separating us from our identity as Krishna's servant? It's only our desire to be Krishna's servant. What's separating us from our eternal relationship? It's our lack of attraction for Krishna, and therefore our lack of attraction to be his servant. And therefore, Krishna appears in this world for that specific purpose. Because he's difficult to understand, so he appears so we can understand him, we can love him. And also, that's in the Bhagavatam, a greatly blessed sage, Narada is telling him, your vision is flawless, your fame is pure, you are dedicated in truth and established. Therefore, in order to liberate all living beings from bondage, you should meditate on the pastimes of the Lord in trance and then describe those pastimes. This is the whole purpose of the Bhagavatam. and therefore we should hear about Krishna. Very powerful thing. Maybe I should also take this up every night. What if, because our decisions determine our fate. So our level of attraction and where we are at right now is based on what we've done in the future, past. So let's determine our future. Let's read Krishna book every night for 10 minutes before we go to bed. Let's read Krishna book every night for 10 minutes. As given so mercifully by Srila Prabhupada. If I did that for the last 35 years, I've wasted my life. If I did that, where would I be now? And where will you be in the future if you do that every day? And the pastimes of the Lord are two types, those which relate to the activities of creation and those which consist of pure pleasure. In other words, when he comes and descends simply for the sake of Leela. And of those two, the pastimes of Leela are primary. They're primary. And that's described by Narada Muni. Brahma told Narada, O sage, besides this, besides what? Besides the pastimes of creation that I explained, scriptures primarily describe the pastime incarnation of the personality of Godhead, which removed the defect of hearing mundane topics. That's the disease of the ear, is gramya katha, mundane topics. So, and that's why we're here, because of the disease of the ear, the desire to hear mundane topics. So the scriptures primarily describe the pastimes and drink this nectar. Okay, now today. So Anuchet 255. I hope this part is not a little too tedious because we're going to get to some really important, exciting things. But this is Jiva Goswami. Anuchets are basically paragraphs or they're based on particular sets of verses. This is what I understand. So these verses are on praise of the Lord's pastimes. So, shravanam, the hearing of the pastimes. So this is from the personified Vedas. So what do the personified Vedas say? O Lord, you manifest various forms in order to reveal the truth about yourself, which is very difficult to fathom. So Supreme Lord comes to help us understand him. Your stories are a great ocean of nectar, and those who dive into that ocean are relieved of all fatigue. It's a fact. I mean, this is it. You know, I've seen it so many times. We're burdened with so many anxieties. Sit in kirtan and sit in katha and hear in the proper way, and the fatigue of material existence is relieved. Having abandoned their homes due to the association with the swan-like devotees, they do not even yearn for salvation. So they're so satisfied. Therefore, praising Leela Katha. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the adjectival compound, Leela Vataranurata, fond of his own pastime incarnations, was used to describe the Lord. He's fond, the Supreme Lord is fond of his incarnations because they are of pleasure to the devotees. Pritanaya sadunam vanashayakcha duskritam. The Bhagavad Gita, it says why Krishna appears. Pritanaya sadunam vanashayakcha duskritam. To kill the miscreants and to protect the devotees. But it's described, and Prabhupada presents this in the purport, he can come in his incarnations to protect the devotees and to kill the miscreants. But why does he really come? to relieve the anxiety of the devotees who want to have the subject matter to hear about him. So this actual particular verse is the answer, you know, in the Bhagavatam, the sages Namacharanya asked six questions, and the third question is why did the Supreme Lord appear? And the answer is the Lord, the sustainer of all planets, accepted past incarnations among the gods, animals, and humans to maintain all living beings by the quality of his goodness. Praise of the Lord's pastimes. So this whole section is about praise of the Lord's pastimes. It's found in Bhagavad Gita. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha takvadeham punav janma naiti mam eti surjana. So what is the effect of hearing about Krishna's pastimes? Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tat. When you veti tatvataha, when you know that truth of Krishna's pastimes, which means you're hearing about those pastimes, then takvadeham punav janma naiti mam. You're not born again. It means you're not born again. You do not take another body, or you do not give up this body. You spiritualize your life. Janma karma chame divyam. The pastimes of the Lord enable even the mortal body to conquer over death by adopting the mood of the eternal associates of the Lord. So this was Maharaj Prickett. What was his anxiety? His anxiety was cursed to die in 7 days. What is our anxiety? We're cursed to die. That's our anxiety. So by hearing the pastimes of the Lord, and we should have faith in this, and this is why we're hearing Shastra. Ayur hariti vaipumsam udyan ashtan chayanta. With the rising and the setting of the sun, every man dies. Every man is close, except that man who is hearing Krishna Katha. Because hearing Krishna Katha awakens your eternal relationship and frees you from the illusion that you're the controller and the enjoyer, and the illusion that you're the body to act out that illusion. So this is Maitreya saying to Vidura, O hero, your question is apt because you are asking about the stories of the incarnation of Lord Hari, which slit the noose of death of mortal beings. By hearing the stories of Lord sung by Narada, the child Dhruva, son of King Uttanapad, extended his foot upon the head of death and ascended to the abode of Lord Hari. So this is going to be explained a little bit. Dhruva Maharaj stepped on death. When you hear about Krishna Katha and you devote that attraction for Krishna, then the obstacles that come before you become stepping stones to your eternal relationship with Krishna. And even death becomes a facility to give up the false ego and enter into your eternal relationship with Krishna. The word Muninam means by the sage Narada. From that it is understood that Narada also narrated the stories of the Lord's incarnations to Dhruva. The sage Narada, hearing the stories of the Lord. That's what he did. Narada told him about God. And Dhruva's conquering over death in the same body and becoming associated with the Lord is described in this verse. Thereafter, being greeted by the Dvijas, Dhruva circumambulated and worshipped the celestial airplane, then assumed the golden form and ascended to the plane. This is the effect of hearing Krishna Katha. This is why I do these classes, but my lamentation, I mean, it's so nice in previous times when they would have a community where everyone was there. I mean, imagine if we all lived in a community really close together with the economic means to support yourselves, support your families. It'd be so nice that I can just speak Krishna Katha in the evening, and if someone's free, they can just walk in and hear it. And then you could speak every day on the Bhagavatam. Now, This is very, very important section. I'm glad that we got up to it. Now, this hearing has, because there's nam, shravanam nam, hearing the name, hearing the form, hearing the qualities, hearing the pastimes. So there's a sadhana kram. In fact, I'm writing, it means a step-by-step order of hearing. And in fact, this verse today, just before the class, I'm writing this paper on Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and his presentation of Raghunuga Bhakti. I was using this verse to show, but the point I'm making is that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave us the path of Ragmarg, but he gave us the path that's mentioned by Jiva Goswami, which is a step-by-step process. There's an order, and that you have to actually become qualified to appreciate the next step. And Raghunuga Bhakti deals with the Lord's pastimes. It deals with Lila Katha, and it deals with Smaran of Lila. So this is what Jiva Goswami does describe the practice of hearing about the name, form, virtues, and pastimes of the Lord. Hearing about the Lord's associates is also included within this practice. So the hearing of, I'll get to the other point I was making, but the hearing of, about the Lord's devotees is also Lila Katha. Because the devotee means he's focused on Krishna. You can't hear about the devotee without hearing about Krishna. Devotee means his relationship with Krishna. So you hear about Krishna, you're hearing about the devotee, you hear about the devotee, you hear about Krishna. Because it's about their rasa, or relationship. So this is from the third canto, 13th verse, 4th verse. To repeatedly hear the good qualities of those who keep the lotus feet of Lord Mukunda in their hearts is the prime fruit of extensive labor undertaken by human beings in the study of scriptures. This has been rightly esteemed by the wise. The labor of studying the scriptures is to hear about the good qualities of those who keep the devotees, who keep the lotus feet of the Lord within their heart. They keep the Lord deep in their heart. They have so much love for the Lord. The Lord is always in their heart. And that's what the scriptures, the effort of studying the scriptures to hear about those devotees. Now this point is really important. It is a fact that hearing about any one of these four, the name, form, qualities of pastimes, and in any order leads to perfection. Yet, in order for purification of the heart of the heart to take place, it is necessary to begin with hearing the name. When the heart is thus purified, one can hear about the Lord's form. And by doing so, the heart becomes fit for the revelation of the Lord's form. This is such an important point. This is not a mental process, meditating on the Lord's Lila. Just like Shraddha or faith is not a mental conception. It's an experience or taste within the heart. So the Lord's form is not a mental conception. It's a manifestation in the Lord's heart. So to become fit for that, the heart has to be purified. How? By chanting the Lord's name. And then you can chant about his form. And then by doing so, it becomes fit for the revelation of the Lord's form. And when the Lord's form fully manifests, revelation of his qualities ensue. Thereafter, when the Lord's name, form, and qualities have manifested along with his associates, the pastimes of the Lord unfold properly. It's not just an artificial imposition of the mind. You just can't immediately just meditate on Krishna's Lila. If we don't purify ourselves, the form we will be thinking of will be material or will be a portion or a predominance of material. It starts with the bhav. It starts with the devotion. The devotion is more important than the thoughts, because without the devotion, the thoughts will not be pure. And therefore, when you have an experience of Krishna, which comes mostly by this Nam Kirtan, when you develop that faith in Krishna, that experience of Krishna, then you can have a frame of reference to properly understand the Lord's form. It doesn't mean we can't think of the Lord's form now. It doesn't mean we can't think of the Lord's pastimes. That's also purifying. But to get full benefit of them, the heart has to be sufficiently purified, and that takes a particular order of hearing and chanting. When the Lord's form becomes fully manifest, it is with this intention that hearing topics in a specific order was originally stated. The same conclusions also imply in regard to singing and remembering the names, form, virtues, and pastimes. So this is Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakura's point. It's based on Jiva Goswami. The goal is the same, but what is the path to get there? And Jiva Goswami's path was a sadhana krama. Otherwise, people develop meditations on the Supreme Lord, and then what happens? Then they can leave. And then what was their meditation on the Lord's Leela? Was it actual real? If it was real, then why would they leave? That's the thing that satisfies the heart fully. So it's based on a genuine shraddha or faith, which develops progressively in this way. And of all, Nam Kirtan's the most important. Nam Kirtan's the most important. Nam Kirtan's the most important. Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Eva Kevalam. Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. There's no other way, there's no other way, there's no other way than how? Than the holy name. And this was specifically, this is very significant. When Lord Chaitanya was answering Prakasananda Saraswati Thakur, he was telling him, I've become a madman. And my Guru Maharaj gave me an instruction. This is bhakti. Guru gives order, I followed it. What? To chant. But what was happening? I was becoming a madman. Because Prakasananda Saraswati was saying, why is such a brilliant sannyasi like you taking up this sentimental process of chanting and hearing? How is that spiritual? So he said, yes. When I spoke to my guru, I also asked him the same thing. And what did he tell me? He told me that this is the perfection of life. Evam vratasva kriya nama krita jatanu raga. But from this chanting, the name of the Lord is born this raga, and then one laughs and he cries and he's absorbed in the Lord's pastimes. This is the process. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave this process. In his Upadeshavali, which is his mission statement, he has about 15, 20 points. He said, by proper hearing comes proper kirtan. And by proper kirtan, the heart becomes purified and becomes a fit place for the remembrance of the Supreme Lord, Astaka Lila Smaran, in the 8 times of the day, an advanced stage. And even in a advanced stage, but in a humble way, we can sometimes chant and pray that we may remember Krishna at that particular time of the day. Krishna's pastimes, Nitya Lila, they are divided into 8 periods. And advanced devotees, they meditate while they're chanting on the particular time. Like now is 9:48, so what is Krishna doing? And they know what Krishna is doing. They not only know what Krishna is doing, and they know what the environment looks like, and they know what the particular season is, they know what particular birds are flying in that season, but they also know what the devotees are thinking at that particular time. They have a full picture of the spiritual world that's born from Nam Kirtan. They know what is Krishna thinking at that moment. And as a servant of Krishna, what will I be thinking at that moment? What will be my mood? What will be my thoughts? And what will be the thoughts of Srimati Radharani? Because I want to satisfy her and serve her. So what will she be thinking at that time? Let me see what time it is. Wow, time flies. When I look at the clock at the beginning and I say 9:05, I can't imagine how I'll speak. So, now, I'm going to just give a little bit of coming attractions because I'll leave a little time for questions, but okay, anyway, this is, I'll read a little bit more. This is all, actually, it's the same anuchet. So I'll finish at 256. Hearing from elevated devotees. If one hears about the Lord from the mouth of elevated devotees, it is supremely glorious. It means that it has further greatness. So you're not only hearing, but you're hearing from elevated devotees. It's even further greatness. And grants immense delight to those who have attained relish for such topics. There are two categories of hearing from elevated devotees: to hear literature composed by a great devotee and to hear literature recited by a great devotee. So composed by a great devotee means like the Bhagavatam. And to hear from a great devotee, so you can hear from elevated devotees, you hear literature composed by a great devotee, that means like the Bhagavatam. It's composed. You can hear literature composed by a great devotee, Vyasadeva. And you can hear literature recited by a great devotee. So a great devotee, he can recite the Vedas, which directly emanating from the Supreme Lord. Shruti, directly spoken by the Supreme Lord. So you can hear that by a great devotee, or you can hear that composed by a great devotee, Smriti. So an example of the first, which is composed by a great devotee, is Sutta's statement in reference to the Bhagavatam. Oh, Shonaka, he's going to say, how this Bhagavatam is composed, it has great qualities. This Bhagavat Prana is equal to the Vedas. So even though it's composed by a devotee, and the Vedas is directly emanating, it's equal. So when something's composed by a devotee, the glory of a great book written by a devotee, it's equal to the Vedas. It contains exploits of the glorious Lord and is composed by the powerful sage Vyas. So its name is given Vyas. It was composed by a devotee and is equal to the Vedas. Let me see how we're doing here. Well, we can go a little more. Another example of the importance, Anushet 257, of hearing literature composed by a great devotee is found in this statement, also in reference to the Bhagavatam. This is a wonderful verse. Nigama kalpa taro galitam phalam sukamukat amrita dravya shamyatam vibhata bhagavatam rasamalayam muhuraho rasika bhuvi bhavaka. Srimad Bhagavatam is the mature fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literature. So there's the Vedas, and it's a desire tree. It fulfills all one's desires. But the mature fruit, the ripened fruit, the thing that gives the most pleasure is the Bhagavatam in the Vedas, because it can actually satisfy the soul's hankering for pure love. Nigama kalpatura galitam phalam sukam mukad amrita. And it's coming from the mouth. This nectar is coming from the mouth of Sukadeva Goswami. So that means it's even better because of that. So this is the, it's composed by a great devotee. It's also spoken by a great devotee. Are you who converse with the mellows of devotional love and expert in ascertaining? Drink Dipita Bhagavatam Rasamalayam. Drink this ambrosial Bhagavatam again and again. Dravya Shamyatam. I love Prabhupada's translation. This is not his. I should copy them. What is it? Semi-soft, solid, easily relishable. This verse specifically mentions that Srimad Bhagavatam grants supreme delight because it is pure ambrosia emanating from the lips of Sri Shuka. So hearing, actually, I think this is about hearing. This verse indirectly implies that other literature derived from great devotees is also full of nectar. Thus, books like Krishna Kanamrita, composed by Srila Lila Shuka, popularly known as Bilva Mangala, are to be included in these categories. We will now give example of hearing from the lips of a great devotee. And I'm going to stop there. Are there any questions? I'm going to just give one more thing. That this is very nice. This is coming up. In regard to hearing, the following should be considered. To hear about the name, form, qualities, and pastimes and associates of the Lord is supremely auspicious. Superior to this is to hear those things that are written by the devotees. So hearing about the Lord is auspicious. Superior is when it's written by devotees. And when such compositions are sung by great devotees, the benefit is greater still. To hear Srimad Bhagavatam is superior even to this. And better yet when sung by a great devotee. So higher than anything is hearing the Bhagavatam spoken by a great devotee. Okay, are there any questions?
Maharaj?
Yeah.
Mahamudhi, please accept.
Thank you.
You had said before that you were making the point that if we try to cultivate a certain kind of meditation, that's maybe beyond our devotional adhikara or something like that.
Yeah.
You made a distinction between when it's pure, when it's just mental, and when it involves the heart. And I wanted to just ask you exactly what that distinction is, because sometimes
I don't.
I'm not always clear what the difference is between the heart and the mind. You know, chitta even can mean both in Sanskrit.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to ask you. I'm not asking you what Sanskrit word you're thinking about, but I'm just asking you what can
you mean. No, I would say like this. It can be, when I mean the mind, I mean that it's intellectual process, right? And when I mean the heart, I mean it's a product of devotion. In other words, when it's born out of a natural sentiment and love for Krishna, there's a certain revelation that manifests. In other words, even the scriptures, I was reading this actually today, that the highest pramana, right, is what? It's Shabda Brahman. And then it gave a term. I'm going to actually, Mahamunika Sphere, I'm just going to actually read it won't take me long. Anyway, I told you I'm editing that book of the person who I'm editing an article in reciprocation to the person who wrote this book. Or translated the book of the Bhakti Sandarbha, because he gave it to me years ago before it was even published. I got it 5 years before it was published. So I have kind of like a head start on people. So I was kind of editing something he wrote, and it was about Shabda Brahman, a Shabda Pramana. And it said, in other words, Shabda, being devoid of all these defects, is considered to be the only authoritative pramana or evidence. Other pramanas can only be used subsidiarily to Shabda. However, the dusha pratyaksha, or the perception of self-realized seer, is a valid means of knowledge because it is as well free of the above mentioned four defects. In fact, it is the basis of Shabda itself. For knowledge of the absolute reality is ultimately attained through vidusha pratyaksha, or revelation through the senses of a pure devotee. So there's a type of revelation in response to one's devotion. It's just like you can chant the holy name and hear it, but if you chant it with devotion, it's manifest more. It becomes, you know, that you can chant with offenses. You know, you're still hearing the syllables, but there's something when there's devotion that invokes a certain type of revelation. So I think that's what I was talking about, that before there's devotion, you can create a kind of description of God and description of Krishna. And it's based on the Shastras, and certainly it's Krishna. But in one sense, it's still filtered through our intelligence and our previous frame of reference. And therefore, there's some type of imposition on that particular conception. And when there's devotion and purity, it's manifesting purely in response to that. And I guess that's what Jiva Goswami was talking about. He said, yet in order for purification of the heart to take place, it is necessary to begin with hearing the name. When the heart is thus purified, one can hear about the Lord's form, and by doing so, the heart becomes fit for the revelation of the Lord's form. So there's some type of revelation, and I think revelation is a little bit revelation which is a response to purity and devotion is a little bit different than an intellectual construct of the Lord's form. Mamuni?
Yes, Marsh.
Anything more?
No, that makes a lot of sense. It's clear.
Yeah, because I understand when we use these terms, if you translate them into Sanskrit, it both means chitta, the mind and the heart. But I think in the English, they refer to two different things.
Yeah, and your explanation is clear. It's like one of them seems to flow from the soul's attraction to God. It's much more deep. It's much deeper than just kind of forcing your mind to do something.
It's revelatory. It's like the holy name. It's just by the senses and the tongue. It has to come from the heart. When it comes from the heart, something more than that is manifest. It's like hearing the Bhagavatam. And if you hear the Bhagavatam in the right way, the Bhagavatam is the form of Krishna in sound. So when you hear the Bhagavatam in the right way, you know, a scholar could read the words, right? But it's not the same thing as when a devotee hears in a faithful, submissive way from the proper authority, he experiences Krishna. The scholar doesn't experience Krishna, he reads the same thing. So there's something that's revealed in response to the approach of the transcendental phenomena. And the revelation is not just black or white, it's in degree to the response of our devotion. Something like that.
Maharaj?
Yeah.
Rasagya,
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. In response to this conversation that
please.
You're having,
yes.
In the Indian classical Bharat Natyam,
yes.
The mind and the heart are the same mudra. And then when I think, Lord Chaitanya's prayer of the holy name cleanses the dust from the mirror of the mind.
Yeah.
Then I also read recently, I can't remember where it was, unfortunately, but how the mind is situated in the heart.
So that
when the mind becomes purified by the holy name, the mind and the heart are one.
Okay. Yeah.
I was just wondering, is that...
Yes.
I mean, they're one, but yet they have different functions on some level, but yet... When the road is cleared between the mind and the heart, the mind can always hear the heart and function in Krishna consciousness.
I think so, yes. When there's devotion, what is devotion? Devotion means the mind is completely absorbed.
Yeah.
The mind is just, thinking of Krishna.
Right.
But I guess the confusion gets there because Mahamuni, he studies the Sankhya.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's something that's called the manas, or the mind, that's different than the chitta.
Yeah.
But the chitta, which is chaito dharpana marginam,
mm-hmm.
the chitta is the whole subtle body, the mind, the intelligence, and your conception or identity.
Mm-hmm.
Together are sometimes also called, the whole subtle body is sometimes called the mind, and then there's an aspect of that's also sometimes called the mind.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you. When the heart is in this full devotion, then that's how you see things. That's how you think.
Right.
You think, your love is how do you think about something? How you feel about it? I love Krishna. And that's your whole absorption. So I think, yeah, they merge into one. It's true. Thank you.
Maharaj?
Yeah.
Would there be time for a related subsidiary question?
Yeah, go ahead.
One thing that struck me lately when I've just been reading certain texts and just thinking about my own meager practice, is that one of the wonderful experiences we had, at least I had as a young devotee in the temple, was that you really felt a lot of promptings from Krishna. I don't know what it was, but I felt like you always, it was easy to hear the super soul maybe when you were just doing book distribution or preaching and stuff like that. And so I was thinking, when you were just talking about Dusha Pratyaksha, I understand you're talking about a very high level of spiritual experience there, but... My impression is that those kind of experiences that maybe confirm our relationship with Krishna that we've all had, they seem to slow down sometimes. And I wonder if also you would say there's no real mental trick for that to happen. It's just a matter of focusing our mind to look for Krishna. I don't know.
You're talking about the slowing down of them is... because the practice and absorption is less, maybe, And, sometimes that just naturally comes with stages of life, especially when you think of being in the brahmachari ashram, right? And then having to go out and, put your whole life together all at once. It's some type of... purification that we have to go through, which also is sent by Krishna to teach us lessons and bring us to the highest goal. But those realizations may be less in a way or something like that, because there's less direct absorption. There may be other realizations, about Krishna in the world and how he's moving and seeing Krishna in the world, but those deep internal spiritual experiences, they take some absorption and some austerity and some concentration. So, you know, they may vary according to different times of life we have, we're absorbed in at the time.
Yeah, that makes sense. I didn't mean to bring up like a downer question.
No.
But
no,
in some ways, I think that you've made the point today that a lot of that can flow from hearing. So even if we just try to have hearing in regular ways, that we can kind of see our life through that hearing. So anyway, thank you.
Catch. Just I was thinking one thing today too. I'm trying to work out my schedule. I know, but I'm one thing I was supposed to do is go to Israel in September. Which is on hold because the people that I go to see there, they're just feeling that the country is just too dangerous and that they want to move. So I was thinking maybe I can come out there for a few days and we can do something, in, you know, like in tents for a day, you know, at the proper time and try to get what that kind of realization, you know, some kind of absorption, because I think that's what I discussed this with you before. I think that's what, you know, I think I remember when Raghunath and those, you know, they were all doing shelter, and they went to Borijan for advice, because you, you go out there on that road and stay up late and the bands and, you know, and they were just in the ashram and, you know, how do you do it? How do you, you know, and he thought like, well, you got to pick times of the year to get those experiences. You know, you got to go on retreats, you got to go to the Dham, you got to go to, you know, different times. Anyway,
okay, well,
we'll talk more about that.
Yeah, thanks, Marja. I appreciate
it. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Would anybody like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Bharati.
Hare Bhav, Bharati. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Very nice. I will have to come there next month sometime.
Oh, sure, Maharaj.
For sure.
Thank you.
Okay. Hare Krishna.
Sir.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Prabha.
Prabha, Hare Krishna. Thank you for joining our Sangha. Thank you. Very nice. That's from near Princeton. Hare Krishna. Anyone else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hey, it's Hare Krishna. This is Gail.
This is who?
It's David Deva. Hare Krishna.
This is who?
It's David Deva.
Oh.
That was my joke.
You know, it would have been a good joke, but I'm laughing now, but it so didn't sound like Gail that it shocked me, you know?
Hare Krishna.
Okay, David from Gitanagari. Anybody else say Hare Krishna? I remember one time I was late for the Sangha, you know, I kind of, that day, and people were thinking that, maybe I got in a car crash or something. So I'm wondering what happened to Gail. Must be serious, because she's usually always on these things. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna today? Okay, we'll end to today, but I do get the numbers. There's quite a few people, actually. The last Sunday was one of the biggest crowds we had. So, another nice thing is we're getting, because it's on the podcast, we're getting 150, 200 downloads a week, so many people are hearing this. So thank you all so much. Vancha kalpa tirubhyascha kripa sindhu bhaeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo.